Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Top Biden aide in Israel to try to head off war with Hezbollah is the headline in the Times of Israel. This is Amos Hochstein meeting with Mr. Netanyahu, Mr. Gallant, and I believe Mr. Lapid. Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, joins to explain exactly how to regard Hochstein's rush. He is the man responsible for negotiating in 2022 a maritime boundary, so there's expectation he'll be traveling to Beirut. Malcolm, a very good evening to you. Hezbollah has been waging a nonstop brutalization of the north of Israel for 8 months. What is it that Mr. Hochstein can do to de-escalate the crisis? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. And it is true, Mr. Hochstein is there. He had good meetings with Israeli officials, but good in the sense that I think there are very limited expectations, except that the situation in the north continues to get worse, much worse. We see Hezbollah increasing its capacity and demonstrating it. The things that we have talked about for many, many months, even years, about the buildup of their rocket forces, perhaps 150,000 missiles with guidance systems, getting more and more sophisticated equipment. We are seeing those things now being launched against the residents in the north. The situation there is deteriorated. We've talked about the 80, 90,000 people who have been displaced from their homes. And the Hezbollah taking credit for and boasting about the fact that they have destroyed perhaps 1,000 houses of people with these RPGs and other rockets that they've been firing. They're firing sometimes 200 missiles towards Israeli populations, launching UAVs, weaponized UAVs that do cause damage. They've set fires all over the north, which have been very damaging. And they even boast of the creation of the suicide squad. And they had pictures, which they uploaded to social media, showing some of the 1,500 suicide bombers saying they're ready to cross Israel's border and conquer the Golan Heights immediately. And they transitioned to the red headbands, which are specifically designated for wartime. So Hezbollah is making very clear its intentions. We know, and we've talked often about the infrastructure that they have in place in the north, with every house having a rocket room and huge conglomerates of tunnels underneath virtually the whole area. Much of what we've seen in Gaza is even more sophisticated and longer standing in the north. So being able to launch 200 projectiles at Israel and another 100 in the morning after, the goal is that of Iran, which is to annihilate Israel. They want to take control as a first step of northern Israel, and depopulating it, as you mentioned, is a first step in that regard. And we know that that Lebanon is no longer really a country under, as long as it is under Hezbollah's control, and the people of Lebanon don't want this war. Although the polls there are unreliable, but we know that there's a lot of resentment about what about Hezbollah's escalation. So Israel comes under fire from seven different fronts, mostly manned by Iran and its proxies, and the West then puts pressure on Israel, and sometimes including the United States, not to allow Israel to do the offensive actions that are necessary, and not providing sometimes the equipment that is imperative, although the United States continues to ship a lot of different munitions. Some countries have stopped, and the United States has limited some of them. So knowing that this is all a violation of UN resolution, knowing that Hezbollah is trying to burn huge swaths of Israel, knowing that their goal ultimately is to carry out an October 7th type incident along across the border, and there have been repeated attempts to try and do so. This is the situation is escalating, and I think something you've talked about many times, the war in the north that we've discussed, I think is getting closer and closer.
To the threat, Malcolm, Hezbollah has a much larger and more sophisticated defensive arrangement than anything we've seen in Gaza.
Absolutely.
And the territory between the northern border and Litani River, that would be the first ambition. If Hezbollah is pushed back beyond the Litani, does that answer the security needs of the north, or would it be necessary to go all the way to Beirut?
No, I think that would be the important step, because it would prevent an October 7th-like attack. It doesn't prevent Hezbollah from being able to fire, because they have these long-range missiles, and because the Iranians will continue to supply them, that the threat will remain. But that is the agreement under Resolution 1710. They're supposed to have been beyond the Litani River, and that is the goal, I think the first goal of Israel in this regard. And the just think that if we were having hundreds of ballistic missiles fired on New York or on Detroit or Michigan or collectively on the United States, and a country the size of New Jersey is absorbing all of this and fighting a seven-front war of survival, which is now being led not by the Hamas, which is on the retreat, I would say, in the south, but by Hezbollah, which is still on the offensive in the north and continues to be able to carry it out. Israel will have no choice but to take action. I don't think it'll be the same kind as we saw in Gaza, but it'll have to be very strong, largely air, at least initially. But they may have to occupy the area between the border and the Litani to root out the Hezbollah infrastructure.
Some positive news. Half of Hamas in Rafah is beaten, according to the IDF, and the IDF says it will gain control, full control, in 2 weeks. This is the Philadelphia route and Rafah. So what we have here, Malcolm, is quietly, you'd have to say, Israel has completed its encirclement of Hamas. I don't want to rush into this. Is that good news, Malcolm?
Well, it is good news that Israel is being more effective. They paid a heavy price. 11 soldiers were killed in 2 days earlier this week and over the weekend. And they say that they have rooted out half in Rafah, and that in a couple of weeks they can finish mopping up the Rafah operation. The goal was never to root out every one of the 30,000 Hamas terrorists. It was to destroy the infrastructure, hopefully to capture the leadership. They have eliminated, as they have in the north, some of the key operatives, which is a body blow to the terrorists. But they continue to fight. And for Sinwar, the only thing he wants is to be able to emerge the day after. We see that the Egyptians, the Qataris, are not putting the pressure on Hamas and Hezbollah on Hamas to deliver. Their popularity is in fact going up, and this is a very disturbing trend. 75% of the Arabs are satisfied with Hamas's performance. 2/3 of Palestinians believe that October 7th was right, and that the Hamas was right in launching it. I mean, if you see the reports of all of the studies that have come out in the last 3-4 days, I think 82%. Said that a majority of Arabs said that the international attention to Arab cause was heightened by this, and that Hamas's attack, even though they most of them don't know about the atrocities and said they didn't have any information on it, but even 73% of the residents in Judea and Samaria believe Hamas made the right call in doing it, and in Gaza 57%. Which is a drop of 14 points in the last 3 months, but still, the majority still support what Hamas did. And I believe that the fact that the vast majority don't believe they committed the atrocities because they're not getting the information, and even if they get the information, it's distorted, doesn't bode well. You know, we're all looking, and Western countries in particular keep talking to Israel about the day after. Well, what hope can there be for the day after when the vast majority of the population believe that this barbaric assault was right, and that they make heroes of these murderers and rapists and beheaders? It is not a positive sign for the future.
Houthis use sea drones to attack vessels as U.S. aims to secure the Red Sea. Secure the Red Sea, Malcolm. The Houthis are in the mountains in North Yemen. Is there thinking that you don't secure the Red Sea because that's the target? You have to go at the shooters?
So the point is a good one, and I think the Houthi attacks are not getting the attention. Actually, the Yemeni government came out very strongly about this, condemning them and asking UN agencies to relocate their offices to the capital, Aden, and wanting to provide a safe environment. But what we've seen is the United States is involved in the most intense naval combat since World War II. And we don't have a real impression of what our sailors are going through. Some of them have been out there for months on end. There are near daily attacks that have seen more than 50 vessels clearly targeted. We've seen in a short period of time when they launched many different kinds of missiles and drones that the United States and others in the Red Sea had to take out, Britain and the U.S. particularly. And the commanders there, and especially the commander of the USS Laboon, who came out quite publicly in an interview and said that people don't realize how deadly serious is what's going on there and the threat that to American interests and what they are have been dealing with. They sometimes just have seconds to confirm a launch by the Houthis, confer with the other ships, and then make the decision to take it down, as they did 18 drones, two anti-ship cruise missiles, a ballistic missile launched by on February, January 9th, one day. So this is the most sustained combat that the U.S. Navy has had to endure. And I remember at a time when we're stretched with seeing a lot of our power in the South China and in the Asian field, one of the interesting things that you remember, the USS Cole, which was targeted in 2000 by an al-Qaeda suicide bombers in a boat, that is back in the Red Sea now, patrolling together with the Laboon. And that day, the Houthis launched a drone boat attack against a commercial ship that disabled the vessel. It doesn't get the attention here, but it's really critical. The USS Eisenhower is there. It's more further away from the coast of Yemen, which is where these other ships are operating in order to protect against the firing. But it's affecting shipping, which affects the prices of goods we buy here because they have to take the much longer route around Africa. And, you know, the Eisenhower's air crew dropped 350 bombs and fired 50 missiles at targets inside Yemen as they try to prevent the firing. It's amazing how they have been able to continue and how they have been able to sustain. But we saw it in their battle with Saudi Arabia, in which 150,000 people were killed, many of them civilians, and one of the worst humanitarian disasters, although you don't hear the condemnations and you don't hear all of the UN sessions, being mobilized about during those days. So remember what the flag of Houthis say. It says death to America, death to Israel, curse to Jews, victory to Islam. And that's their goal.
Quickly, Malcolm, back to Jerusalem. The news is that the war cabinet has been dismissed. What does that mean? We have about a minute.
It means only that because Mr. Gantz, the former Minister of Defense, General, the Chief of Staff, left the government, it was an opportunity to bring him and General Eisenkot and others into the decision-making process on the war effort with them out of the government. There was no need. They could go back to the regular cabinet, which just has a subset of people dealing with defense situation. So it was just, I think, administrative decision.
So the cabinet is intact. The word dismissed fooled me. So
Right. Gantz, it's all completely intact.
Gantz is no longer a member of government. He no longer has a portfolio. Is that he's standing outside?
He's in the Knesset. He remains in the parliament, but he's no longer. He joined the government after October 7th. He resigned. He's called for elections. He's called for other things. So he is now in the opposition together with Lapid and the other parties. So there's still the 64 members in the government, but that's pretty shaky. And it also gives a lot of leverage to all the existing parties.
Malcolm Holein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.